Look again with me at it. It's chapter 18, verse 36. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. And again, Elijah's prayer receives an immediate and powerful answer. Verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. Now that is a powerful ministry of prayer, isn't it? A young boy brought back from death and fire called down from heaven. And we think that Elijah must be some sort of kind of superhero. I mean, he's a great man. In a sense, he was. God raised Elijah up and used his obedience and prayers powerfully. But as we heard from that first reading, the New Testament reminds us that Elijah wasn't a spiritual superhero. No, he was just like that. We're told he was a man just like us. And then next week, actually, when we look at chapter 19, we will see just how vulnerable Elijah was. But James mentions Elijah to encourage us to pray. As James says, the prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. And so as we consider how Elijah prayed for rain, we learn a couple of lessons how our prayers, like Elijah, can be powerful and effective. So first, prayer is powerful and effective when we pray in line with God's will. Now, it is striking how confident Elijah is in verse 41 when he tells Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain. It was a very bold thing to say because there had been no rain for over 3 years. And as Elijah spoke to Ahab, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was an extraordinary thing for Elijah to say, but it wasn't bravado, because Elijah knew that it was God's will that there should be rain. He had a specific promise that God had made to him. And so turn back just a page to the beginning of the chapter. Chapter 18, verse 1. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Elijah had been obedient to God. He had met with Ahab. And now he trusted that God will fulfill his promise. But notice how Elijah had to pray for the promise to be fulfilled. The God of Israel, Yahweh, wills to send rain. And he also wills that this should come about through Elijah's prayers. A principle we see worked out again and again in the scriptures. God declares what his will is, and then he chooses to bring that will about through the prayers of his faithful people. And this is the huge dignity that God gives us. He wants his people to be involved in his work. He wants us to be involved in the bringing of his will to pass. In this way, prayer operates very much, actually, like the preaching of the gospel. So let me ask you, could God bring people to himself without us passing on the good news of Jesus to others? And the answer is, of course he could. It's an angels to do it. God could reveal himself directly to people through dreams and other dramatic means. And sometimes you come across occasions, stories when God has done just that. But for the most part, the way that God chooses to reveal himself to people and to give them eternal life is through the faithful witness of his people as they draw alongside others and explain the good news of Jesus to them. And in a similar way, God chooses to work to achieve his purposes through the prayers of his people. It's not the case that God is limited by our prayers, but this is the way that God, in his sovereignty, chooses to work. He declares his will to his people, and then he waits for his faithful ones to bring that will about through their praying. So prayer is not so much about us trying to get a great God involved in our plans and purposes. No, prayer is all about how a great God involves us in his plans and purposes. And actually, this is something that we see Jesus modeling to his disciples when he taught them how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're not praying for our will to be done, we're praying for God's will to be done. So, friends, let me ask you, what do you find yourself praying for most? Either when you're praying in your own or you're praying with other people. Is it for your will to be done or for God's will to be done? What do we pray for our children and grandchildren if we have them? That they be happy or that they be holy? Do we pray that they may be successful in their exams, not get too stressed at work? Or do we pray, praying that they may become more and more like the Lord Jesus? So if we want our prayers to be powerful and effective, then when we pray, and the point is, as we pray, we must be aligning our wills with God's will. And actually, this is again, we see Jesus modeling to us as he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember? It was the night before he died, and at a deep and highly emotional level, Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. He wanted to be spared it. Everything in him kind of shrunk from it. But he knew it was God's will for him. And so as he openly and honestly poured out his heart to God, his Heavenly Father, he prayed, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." Do we want to see God's name honored? Do we long for God's kingdom to come? Well, if we do, and if we want our prayers to be powerful and effective, then we need to be praying for those things. Praying for those things that we know God wants to happen. For instance, we know that God longs for people to be saved and come to knowledge of his truth. So are we praying for that? Regularly and specifically for people and situations. We know that God wants us to be conformed more and more to the likeness of Jesus. So again, are we praying for that? Specifically in those areas of life that we know where there need to be changes. Is that what we're praying about most? Because we know that that's God's will. We know that God wants more and more laborers to go out and work in his harvest field. Is that what we're praying for? It's not that we can't bring the concerns of our life, our worries to God. No, he wants us to trust him and depend on him in all things. But God wants us to be actively involved in his glorious plan, his agenda for the world, for mankind. This is the first thing we learn from Elijah about powerful and effective prayer. We must learn to pray in line with God's will. But there's a second lesson to learn as well. Prayer is powerful and effective when we pray with humble perseverance. So Elijah says to Ahab, go and eat and drink, for there's the sound of a heavy rain. And then we read verse 42, so Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah didn't go off to eat and drink. Instead, he climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Now, Elijah's not doing that because he's exhausted from his climb up Mount Carmel. Nor is it because he's had a dodgy takeaway the night before. Although it's not explicit in the text, it is clear that Elijah is praying. And James makes that perfectly plain to us. But notice how we're not told anything about the actual words that Elijah prayed. Instead, we're told about the attitude with which he prayed. Elijah prayed with great humility. He knows that he has no claim on God other than what God has revealed to him. And it's made me think about what attitude do I pray to God? Do I approach God humbly, recognizing his greatness and glory, and my puniness and unworthiness? Or do I actually approach God casually? Now, it's not that our physical posture is of particular importance. It is the attitude of our hearts that matters. But I do know for myself that sometimes when I'm praying on my own, it really does help to get down on my knees or to stand with my hands raised to the heavens to express my utter dependence on God and my unworthiness before him. See, if we are a Christian because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can approach God with great confidence, but we mustn't confuse confidence with casualness. That's the point. See, through Jesus Christ, we can approach God with great boldness and confidence, but we should also do it with great humility. The Bible repeatedly tells us that God opposes the proud, but that he gives grace to the humble. But as well as praying with humility, if we want our prayers to be powerful and effective, we must also pray with perseverance. So there is Elijah praying to God with his face between his knees for rain to come. And after a while, he goes and tells his servant to go back and look towards the sea, because that's the direction from which the storm clouds normally come. And so the servant toddles off to higher ground and comes back with the answer, there's nothing there. The Mediterranean sun is still blazing away in a clear blue sky. Nothing has happened. On the previous occasions when we come across Elijah praying, the answer was clear and immediate, but not here. Why? Well, we're not told. There is a mystery in prayer. God is not a genie. Prayer is not like a slot machine. Now, you put in your prayer and you get an immediate answer. But notice how Elijah doesn't give up. He keeps on praying. Now, we're not told how long Elijah prayed for. All we're told is that he sent the servant back seven times. But the impression again is given that it wasn't straightforward. Elijah had six sessions of prayer for rain and nothing happened. He knew it was God's will, and yet God wasn't delivering on it. Elijah put his life and reputation on the line for God, and God wasn't delivering on that specific promise. Yet. And that is the whole point. It wasn't yet. Elijah knew what God's will was. And although his experience seemed to say to the contrary, Elijah was patient and demonstrated his trust in God by persevering in prayer. And it was only after the seventh time that there was the first little sign that God might actually be doing something. Friends, if we want our prayers to be powerful and effective, not only must we align our wills to God's and pray with humility, we must also persevere in prayer and not give up. And sometimes God will test and prove the genuineness of our faith by delaying in giving us what we ask for. Let me give a current example of this. Now, we as a church have no specific word from the Lord that St. Mary's Maidenhead should eventually be linked up with St. Mary's Whitewortham, and that Dave Atala should ultimately become its next vicar. So we must not be presumptuous and say that God must bring it to pass. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We must be humble before God, acknowledging that he is much greater and much wiser than us. However, we do know that God longs for the gospel to be faithfully preached, and that this link with St. Mary's is a way for that to happen, for it to continue. So despite all the delay and setbacks that we've had, we continue to pray for that to happen, trusting that it is God's will. And if it is God's will, God will work through our prayers to bring it about. It is our persevering in prayer which reveals the true desires of our heart and is the mark of our true faith in God. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. And he was just like us. There was nothing in that sense special about Elijah. Yes, he was called by God to be a prophet. That made it special. But there's nothing about him as a person. But there was something very special about the God to whom Elijah prayed. And it was the sovereign will of this God to send his eternal Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, into our world to take on human flesh, to die on the cross, which we're going to be remembering later on as we come to the Lord's table. And the reason why Jesus died on the cross is so that we, who are naturally unrighteous, might become righteous in God's sight. You see, the prayer of a righteous man or righteous woman is powerful and effective. And that is a righteousness that we do not have to and cannot create in ourselves, but which God gives us through Jesus. If we have come to put our trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, then we are righteous. And we can approach God in prayer with boldness and confidence. But if our praying is to be powerful and effective, then like Elijah, we must align our wills with God's will. And we must pray with humility and perseverance. Let's pray now. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for this example of Elijah. And thank you for this reminder that he was a man just like us. Thank you but it is your desire to use our praying to bring about your will. That you choose to involve us in your great and sovereign purposes. Father, thank you for the enormous privilege of that. Help us to understand it, to believe in it, and be those who act on it and work with you through prayer. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.